morning and everything that he has promised you. I want you to give him a shout of praise. Come on, just thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him. Come on. Pick him up this morning. Give him praise. He's worthy. Give him praise. Come on. Lift him up this morning. Come on. Help him.
Word. As we praise you, Lord, we declare in the name word goes forth. Just have your way. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Come up to God and give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Yeah, this morning for music, you can stay there. I mean, let's see where we go, where God leads us. This morning I want to speak about the grace of God. And most of us, we know about the grace of God. We've heard it many times here. But I felt led by the Spirit of God to be bringing this subject to us this morning. I'm going to try not to be too long. Because I believe that God will speak his word and, you know, we're going to get it. We're going to understand it. Our minds have been opened. We have been ready. We're getting ready for the Spirit of God just to speak to us. And I know that we are ready this morning. So, can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
I bought myself a... purchased a brand new Audi A5. I think it's a 2018 on the plates. Don't woo yet. Wait till I come to the end, all right? And when I went to check this car out, you know, when I was doing the test drive and I turned over the engine, it sounded powerful. I looked up the speedometer and it tells me that I can do 180 miles per hour. And that's really fast. However, it's unlikely that we would do over 70 miles per hour in the UK because that is the law here. Amen. And I know none of us ever do over 70 miles an hour because that would be breaking the law. But it's Sunday morning and I've got to get to church to help set up. And I'm leaving at 8:30 in the morning in my brand new car and I'm driving down the A406. 8:30 Sunday morning, there are no cars around. The road is empty. And I'm looking ahead of me and I'm thinking to myself, this road belongs to me. Has anybody ever been there?
Yes.
And so my intention this morning was to break the law. Has anybody ever been there? The road was mine, and I'm going to test this car out. My intention was to break the law, and I put my foot down on the accelerator, and I'm moving now from 50, which is the legal limit, and now I'm doing 100, and it feels good. For some of you who haven't got a 18 plate or even a 17 plate, you might not understand what I'm talking about. But it felt good. And as I scaled the hill coming on the A406, and I'm coming over to the other side, I look to my left, and there is a police car. Shocked and surprised, I slammed on the brakes, thinking that he didn't see me, and I whizzed past him. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, because I could hear a voice by now saying, put your foot down and I think you can get away. And then I heard another voice saying, pull over to the other side. Has anyone ever been in that position? Or is it just me? We need some truth here now. Come on. You've been there, Brother Steve, yeah? Praise God. And so what did I do? I pulled over to the side. The police car, the lights come on. And he drove behind me, pulled up behind me, told me to get out, Mr. Jones, get out the car and come and sit in my car. Let's have a chat. Amazingly, this police officer said, he asked me where I was going. I said, you know, I'm on my way to church. I'm the pastor of Eden Christian Center. I'm on my way to church. And he says, oh, amazingly, he started to say, you know, he's heard of Eden Christian Center. And he says, he's a pastor. No, not a pastor, he's a Christian as well. And we began to speak about the Lord. And then he said the most amazing thing to me. He says, come on, let's go and have breakfast. And so the cafe, which was just around the corner, we went there. And I bought him breakfast. And we spoke about the Lord some more. And then when he finished, he left. You've got to be quiet then. He didn't caution me. He gave me no points. He didn't book me or anything like that. You see, because the thing is, I've already got 9 points on my license. And another 3 would take me over the edge. And I'm a pastor, and I've got to get to church. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do now? If he'd given me the 3 points, surely I would be banned. Surely I would be fined. I don't know what else might have happened to me. But this man, he loved me and he walked on. And some of you are saying, I can't believe Pastor Brian did that. I know, I can see your minds. My wife is sitting in front and she goes, oh my gosh. Tell him the truth. This isn't true. It's not real. Somebody said it's nice.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? This is just an illustration. That's good, isn't it? I feel that I could write a book. But can I say, what I've just told you is a picture of grace. But I would like to go a little bit further and say to you that the grace of God is greater than what I've just told you. The grace of God says that this police officer, he not only let me off, give me no points, and it's not me buying him breakfast, but it is him buying me breakfast. The grace of God looks like that. So he lets me off. He lets me free. And then he blesses me with breakfast and a cappuccino. And when I'm about to leave the cafe, he hands me £100 and he says, this is towards your building fund. That is a picture of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace did much more abound. Romans 5 and verse 20. Meaning that there is much more grace that it will cover your sins. As I sat in my living room this week, I was asking God, I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak to your people on? And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And the Lord said to me, you don't fully understand grace. And as the Lord said that, tears began to fill my eyes as I pondered upon what the Lord had said. And we were having conversations together. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if I don't fully understand it, how are the people in Eden going to fully understand it? And I'm a teacher. I don't believe the Lord was saying, I don't understand grace because surely I do. What I believe the Lord was saying is that there is a deeper work of grace that you and I do not see, that we cannot fully comprehend. A deeper work. There is a work of grace that is happening in the realm of the spirit that you and I, mere mortal beings, cannot fully perceive or even comprehend. Grace has been poured out upon you. The grace of God has been poured out upon you. You didn't even know that you had grace like this, but you have been walking in this grace for years. Actually, you didn't deserve it, but it was poured out upon you anyhow. That's the grace of God. You thought it was because you have been good or careful, why nothing has happened to you, and that you've made it thus far. You thought it was all about you, but I've come to tell somebody this morning, it is the grace of God in your life. You see, God has been working in the background on things that you and I cannot see. I heard a testimony this week in our all-night prayer meeting about a sister whose blood level had dropped to only 5, and she was still functioning normally. There are times you could have been hooked on drugs. Yeah, you're saying me. You could have been hooked from drugs, dead from an overdose. The sicknesses in your body that you didn't even know that you had, God has been healing. The battles that have been happening in the spirit realm have been won on your behalf. And you didn't even know that they were going on. There are accidents that you have been prevented from. Doors that have been opened and you didn't even know that they've been opened. Doors that have been closed in your experience and you didn't even know it. That is the grace of God, that deep grace of God that is working on your behalf. Somebody ought to give him praise just about now. The amazing grace of God. One thing I understand about grace is this, that if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brian Jones would not be here today. I would be messed up, probably locked up, possibly dead. But God saw me and his grace filled my life. Hallelujah. His grace has been working for me. The Lord led me to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 to 16. It says, therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. I want to tell you that there is no temptation known to man that Jesus has not faced. He knows your weaknesses because he has faced them too. He knows your pain because he's experienced pain. He even knows death because he's tasted death and he conquered it. The Bible says that he faced temptation. And then it goes on to say, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Lord, I thank you for your grace, the grace of God that I'm getting to understand. Thank you for your grace. So what really is this grace? Many times we hear about and we talk about the grace of God. We do that very flippantly. not really realizing what the grace of God is. Some people get grace and mercy confused. And even though they are similar in terms and similar in meaning, grace and mercy are not the same, they're different. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sin deserves. Mercy is deliverance from judgment. In other words, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, which means that what should come after my sin is death. That's the payment for my sins. But I thank God for his mercy. He saw me and he had mercy upon me. Just like the police officer laid me off the sin that I had committed, he showed me mercy. But grace goes a little further. It is God's blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. This grace is God's unmerited favor. Thank you for your grace, Lord. His goodness towards those who have no claim on it, no reason to expect it. It is the gift, a gift from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for the gift of grace. In fact, by definition, grace is a gift to the unworthy. No, I wasn't worthy of it, God, but you gave it to me. Now, grace derives from the Greek word charis. And charis is part of charisma. We've all heard charisma. And charis is related to chero. Chero means to rejoice. And I hear some of you rejoicing right now. Because some of you should have been locked up, possibly been in prison. Not here today. And I hear you rejoicing because God has shown you his grace and his mercy. Now this grace that relates to chero is an expression of sweetness or attractiveness. It signifies favor. God favoring you, his goodwill and his loving kindness, especially when it's granted by a superior to an inferior. The police officer offers that to Brian Jones. In other words, this grace is poured out by a supreme, infinite, great, and mighty God to a fragile, inferior human being like you and I. Jesus deserves a thank you right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul testifies about this as well. As you know about the Apostle Paul, he's persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He is responsible for the death of Stephen. But through a divine encounter with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, his life is completely turned around. That is the grace of God in the life of Paul, or Saul, as he was called then. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, this is a testimony that Saul writes. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his service. And even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Saul was saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He received God's unmerited favor. He was shown God's goodness, and even though he did not deserve it, he was gifted salvation. It's because of the grace of God that we are able to come to Christ and be saved. Amen? when you thought that you found salvation. I used to go around and people used to come to me and say, yes, we have found salvation. I want to tell you that you didn't find salvation, but salvation found you. Jesus ran after you. He sought you out and he found you amongst the billions of people across the world. Jesus looked out and he saw you and he saved you. That is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Salvation itself is a gift from God. Salvation, this salvation that you and I carry, it's a gift from God. It's an expression of his grace. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You can buy stuff in Tesco's, but I tell you, if you go to Tesco and say, excuse me, which aisle do I find grace in? You will never find it. You cannot buy it. It's a gift from God, and I thank God that he has gifted me his grace today. The grace of God over my life. Hallelujah. Certainly, this grace is not deserved by any of us today. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved, by grace, through faith, and it is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Salvation itself is the most extraordinary expression of God's grace. Had it not been for his good pleasure, salvation would never have come. As I'm reading the story of Jonah, Jonah is one of the most extraordinary examples. You wouldn't believe it. Of the grace of God, not only in the life of Jonah, but also in the life of the people of Nineveh, the people that he was sent to save. When you begin to read that story, you will see the grace of God in Jonah's life and the grace of God in the life of the 120,000 people who live in the city of Nineveh. Some people say, you know, I don't know whether that story is true. I've heard it in Sunday school and I've heard it round and about the place, but I don't know whether that is true. Well, I tell you it is true, because Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 12, he refers to the story of Jonah. Great sin. Great sin, the Bible says, was over Nineveh. In other words, their sin was a concern to God. And God, because of his grace, he wanted to forgive them. And so he speaks to Jonah. He tells Jonah, he gives Jonah a command. And he said, Jonah, I'm sending you to Nineveh because I want you to deliver the message, the gospel message to these people, because I want them to be saved. What does that remind you of? Matthew chapter 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's a command by Jesus. That's the last command that he gave us before he ascended into heaven. And how many of us, after having that commission, are still running the other way and not running towards those people that need salvation? This is a command. It's very, very important, especially in these last days. The Spirit of God is sending us to those who are lost, heading for hell. Yes, hell is very real. People who are heading there thinking, I'm just living my life, I'm just getting on, and they're heading towards a lost eternity. And God said, I want you to go to the church, to get up and go and deliver a message of salvation. Go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all the things I have told you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. End of the world. And Jonah gets this commission, And instead of Jonah running and accepting God's call and going to Nineveh, he heads towards Tarshish. He decides to run in the opposite direction. And Jonah knew that God was merciful. Anybody knows that God is merciful? Jonah knew that God was merciful. And the reason Jonah ran from God's call was just because of that. Because of the mercy of God. Jonah thought that he could get away with it. Jonah thought that it's all right. God has spoken, but God is merciful. He's not going to do anything about it. And we can be guilty of that sometimes. When we take advantage, and this is the truth, when we take advantage of the love, loving kindness, the grace, and the mercy of our God. Because we know that there is enough grace to cover us. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, he asks a very challenging question. He says, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And then in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it says, Jonah says, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and you are a merciful God. You're slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. One who relents from doing harm. God has spoken to Jonah, and Jonah knew that God is merciful. If God is gracious, yes, he'll forgive you. It's all right. You carry on sinning. You carry on doing what you want to do because God is gracious. That's what Jonah thought. And so in the story that I told you about the new Audi A5, I was shown favor there. But sometimes the grace of God could cause the most extraordinary things to happen to us so that he can get us back, of course. I don't know if there's anybody that believes that. But God can cause some extraordinary things to happen in your life. You say, where is that coming from? Is that coming from the devil? Yes, it's the devil that's causing it. But no, God has caused it because he wants to get you back on course. It can be, grace can be painful at times. Grace can hurt sometimes. Sometimes grace does not look like grace. Favor does not look like favor. The Apostle Paul. He said three times I went to God. I went to him. I kept going back to him. Three times I asked him, I said, God, take this thorn out of my flesh. I cannot live with it anymore. God says to him, no. Because my grace is sufficient for you. He had to have the thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. He needed that to keep him humble. So the next time you're going through stuff and you're praying and you're wondering, why isn't this moving? Perhaps God's grace is upon you. We don't like to accept it, but this is how God works. Sometimes he has to put the pressure on to get us to where he wants us. Painful, I know, but it's because of the love and the grace of God in your life. I thank God that he put the pressure on in my life, and that's the reason I am here today. It's because of the grace of God, because when I was going west, and God says, I want you to go north. He had to put the pressure on to get me to west. Or shall I say east? Because this is where we are. some of you, it could mean breaking a leg. For some of you, it could mean ending up in prison. Yes, I said prison. Some of you, it could mean having the handcuffs on. Some of you, it could mean that you're locked up. You're broken. It could mean that. For Jonah, the grace of God came as a great wind. The grace of God came as a violent storm. The grace of God meant for Jonah that he was thrown overboard, ready to die. The grace of God for Jonah meant that he was swallowed by a great fish. God may cause a great storm in your experience. Yeah. You may end up overboard in the depths of the darkest valley to get you back on course. But here is the comforting news. In your storm, in the valley, God will always find a way out for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There is always a way out, but God will use circumstances to get you to where He wants you. But He will always, always, always provide a way out for His children because of His grace and His love and His mercy. Hallelujah. I feel right now that I need to tell somebody that there is a way out for you. I see it right now. Yes, my brother, there is a, God says there's a way out for you. That He's provided a way out. And God says you're not going to be staying in that situation for too long because He says He has provided for you a way out. Hallelujah. For Jonah, God provided a fish to swallow him. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he was imprisoned in the fish's belly. I know it's not ideal, but he was safe. And for some of us, because of, we don't like to hear this, but for some of us, because of our disobedience, we are imprisoned in our storm. For years. But I thank God He's provided a way out. Because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who's here, who's on the sound of my voice, if you are in a storm right now, and I know some of you are, if you are in the deepest, darkest dungeon, I am telling you, God will provide a way out. God will provide a way out. And you know how that way out comes? We were teaching about it on Wednesday. When you begin in your situation to praise God, I tell you, God will move in your experience. If you can but find the strength to begin to praise God, even though you may be down, even though you may be broken, even though you haven't got any money in your bank, God says, here is the door. It is open, it is open, it is open. Provide you a way out. Provide you a way out. Yeah. You see, this is what the Bible says. Jonah, he prayed unto God and he confessed, Lord, save me. Psalm 34 and verse 6 says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him out of all his troubles. Saints, that is the word of God. Some weeks ago I spoke about the promises that are ours. This is one of them. You cry unto the Lord. There is no way that God will forsake you. You confess unto Him and He will show you mercy. His grace will be sufficient for you. He will move you out of your circumstances and God will place you on dry land. God did. God arranged And he's going to do it for you. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that God is just, he's just working now. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that some of you came here this morning with situations you've been saying to yourself, how am I going to get out of this? But I hear the Spirit of God saying that your God is working in the background. Your God is working in the background. I hear the Spirit of God saying, and the grace of God is about to be applied to your situation. In this place, I hear the Spirit of God saying that there are going to be some breakthroughs coming. There are going to be some doors opening. I hear the Spirit of God saying, if you can only confess, cry out to me, pray to me, God said you will open doors for you. The reason I'm passionate about this is because I have experienced it. Yeah, Sister Yutanda this morning was talking, was singing about knowing and experiencing God. I have experienced God, so I am qualified to speak about God like this. I'm not only just ready to, but I've experienced it. I've been there. Arrange a deliverance. You say to yourself, how is he going to do it? This is what he did in Jonah's situation. The Bible says that God had a word with a fish. Hey boy, come here. I want you to, around about 12 o'clock, I want you to go down just by that rock. There's a young man called Jonah. I want you to go and swallow him. Keep him for about 3 days, 3 nights. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you what to do. God went back to the fish and he says, listen, friend. He says, there's a beach just ahead of you. I want you to just vomit Jonah out. Thank you for keeping him for 3 days. Thank you for, you know, just keeping him warm. But now I think Jonah really understands. Jonah has got it. I want you to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. Do you know what happens? The fish obeyed. If the fish can obey, God is calling people to be obedient. God is calling people that he wants to use. But God says, open your ears so that you can hear what I'm saying to you. It's obedience. It can happen. But God is looking for people who will hear. The Bible says that God, the fish, vomited Jonah and I onto dry land. And if God can speak to a fish, and he can speak to a donkey, I wonder why God is speaking to animals and not, you know, we're not hearing him. Speak to a fish, he can speak to a donkey. I want to tell you that God can speak to you. He can speak to a fig tree. He can speak to a stone. God can speak to you. But I hear the Spirit of God saying that my children need to become obedient. Open their ears because I'm continually talking. I don't know what situation you're in today. You have been running from God because of your obedience. You found yourself in the belly of a great fish. But grace has been with you. You ran from God, but grace has run after you. Grace has never left you, but grace has stayed with you through your darkest hours. And now God speaks to whatever situation is holding you. Whatever situation is holding you. I've come today because I want a war with the enemy. I've come today because there is a battle that is set up right now to bring about defeat. Yes, I see it. The Bible says that the fish vomited Jonah out onto dry land, and he was safe. And then he delivered the message that God had given him for the people of Nineveh, and they were saved. Saints, I've come to tell somebody, when God has spoken to you, you've heard the word of God time and time again, and God has been speaking to you over and over and over again. Can I say to you, there's going to come a time when God is going to stop talking. He will be there. But you know, how much more can God say? He's told you time and time, go there, do this. And we become disobedient to the voice of God. Well, today God says he doesn't want you to go through that, but he wants you to be obedient to his voice. Because when we're obedient to the voice of God, just like Jonah was, but he had to go through all of that before the people of Nineveh were saved. Please stand to your feet. The Spirit of God is just speaking to some people today. This is an extraordinary Sunday. Whoever you are, you can experience the grace of God. It's not for a special type of person. You're not born into it. God does not care where you have come from or where you have been or what you have done. I've done it all, but the mercy of God has been upon me. His grace has been upon me, and his grace is upon you now. You can go away from this meeting knowing it with the grace of God. I want to tell you that you cannot survive without the grace of God, without the unmerited favor of God. Every morning you wake and you open your eyes, you see the grace of God right there. Wherever you go, the grace of God will find you. If you run to the south, his grace will run after you. If you hide even in the belly of a great fish, the grace of God will be right there. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here you need the grace of God in your life? Remember what I said about salvation? Salvation is a gift of grace. If you haven't got salvation, even though you might be coming to church, I don't care, 10, 15 years, if you haven't got salvation, you haven't got that grace in your life. Right now, while every head is bowed, I don't care if you've been coming to church. It's not about coming to church. You need to know the grace of God in your life right now. If that is you I'm speaking to, and I know that I'm speaking to people in this place, if that is you and you need that grace, salvation, just raise your hands where you are. I know the Spirit. Yeah. I know the Spirit of God. Yes, I see your hands. Yeah, okay. I know the Spirit of God has been speaking to people here. I'm talking about salvation now. So if there is something else that you need from God, just put your hands down. But I'm talking about salvation. Salvation, salvation. If you want salvation, that grace from God, just raise it up quickly. Just raise it up. And I'm going to pray with you. I see your hands. 1, 2, 3. I see your hands. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? Just the street for salvation. Grace, I see your hands for salvation. 5. Hallelujah! Somebody give God a praise. Praise God. While every head is bowed, I'm going to lead those five people, to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. Those five. Hallelujah. over me. Lord Jesus, just repeat that to me. Just say that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Right now I confess with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. The Bible says, your word says, that I am saved. Right now, I am saved. I have received grace. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a massive. Come on, give him a massive big clap. Give him a massive big clap. I want you to come and meet me here. I would like to just have a conversation with you. We give God thanks. Five more to add it to the kingdom of God. I want to tell you that. Yeah. Five more. The great thing, saints, those of you who raise your hands, means your place in heaven right now is secure. Your name is written in Jesus' book. The Lamb's Book of Life, your name is there, alongside mine and many others in this congregation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank God for that. Is there anybody you feel that you're lacking in grace? You're lacking in favor? You're lacking in your life? You feel like you're lacking in whatever area, I want you to put your hands up, because I'm going to declare, you just put your hands up, I'm going to declare the grace of God over your life. Just raise them high. Father, in the name of Jesus, those hands that are raised right now, I declare today, in the name of Jesus and with the authority that I have as a minister in this house, God, I declare right now that they may experience your favor today. I declare favor of God upon your life. The favor of God upon your life. I declare even now in the name of Jesus, those doors that have been closed, that God did not close, I open them now in the name of Jesus. And I close those doors that ought to be closed right now. And I declare every hand that is raised in this place, I declare the favor, the goodwill of God right now in your experience. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just put your hands up. If there's anybody else, you just need something from God. Whatever it is, might be healing. You might need a miracle. I just need you to raise your hands if you need. This is an act of faith. As you raise your hands and you say, Lord, this is me. I need it. I need. Yeah, just raise them. Raise them high. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. In the name of Jesus, every hand that is raised in this place, God, I declare right now, whatever the need is, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I declare miracles in the lives of your people, God, in this